Before we come to consider this question before us tonight, what will heaven be like, I want to make three opening statements. The first one is that I believe we are all searching for happiness. We're aware that there is more to just this life. We understand and we know that there is a joy to be gained. And this is true for all of us. I also believe that we are in some measure or other aware of an eternity. There is more to this life, and there is something more to come. This evening, I want to set heaven before us as that joyful eternity, that happiness that we look forward to, the eternity written on our hearts. The second statement, I know that's quite a long first statement, so is the second one. The second statement is that there are those who claim to have been to heaven during near-death experiences. They claim that they've been to this place of happiness and joy that I believe is written on our hearts and that people pursue. But I don't think they've been there. This is just a representation of what some people think about when we talk about heaven. I haven't talked to any of those people who claim to have been there, but I have read several accounts, and in reading them, I would have serious questions as to their validity. I doubt that what they experienced was a trip to heaven, and I think that this picture that represents maybe what some people think concerning heaven, I think it's a poor representation. It's a poor representation of eternity. It's a poor representation of happiness. So tonight I'm not going to be using any of those claims. I won't be setting them before you as examples of what heaven is like. And I would strongly encourage you to avoid letting them influence what you consider heaven to be like. My third statement is I have not been to heaven myself. So you might ask, well, what gives you the authority then to doubt the experience of others? And what gives you the authority to speak on a place that you haven't been to? What gives you the authority to speak about happiness and the joy to come? Well, everything I say this evening comes from the Bible, the Word of God. And if we want to know and understand anything about heaven, if we want to make sure that we're pursuing true happiness, then this is our full and final authority. None of us have been to heaven, but God has made it clear in His Word what we need to know about heaven. God has made it clear in His Word about the measure of happiness and joy that are in store for those who are destined for heaven. And so we come to God's Word this evening. I want to read from God's Word. It's from the last book in the Bible. It's the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verses 1 to 4. This is what God's Word says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. As we pursue happiness, it's important that we know where true happiness is to be experienced. And so this evening we're asking the important question, what is heaven like? Because here, Scripture makes it clear. Heaven is the place of true happiness. That search that many people have. I have 5 points to make about what heaven is like this evening. Firstly, is heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. The Bible uses the word heaven in a number of different ways. The heavens can mean the upper regions, the sky above us, the atmosphere. Sometimes the Bible uses the word heavens in that sense, that the sky. It can also mean what we call space, the universe, where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. They are in the heavens. But the Bible also speaks of heaven as the dwelling place of God. The place where God's glory is on full display, where His majesty and perfection shine in unimaginable splendor and beauty. And this is what we're looking at this evening, this heaven, the place of God's glory fully revealed, the place of true happiness and joy. The Bible talks not just about heaven, but it speaks about the new heavens and the new earth. The book of Revelation, which we read from earlier, has lots of pictures and symbols that point to a deeper and better reality than the pictures themselves. Pictures and symbols that point us to a place of true happiness and joy. I want to show you some of the pictures that the Bible uses in its words. It speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. We read that from verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21. It's also found in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 60. The Bible speaks of a place, a new heaven and a new earth. These are obviously just pictures representing the words. It speaks of a city that we read from verse 2 in Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. And later on in the chapter, we see it's a city that has a description of being splendid, of being organized, of being secure. It's a city that has perfect dimensions. It's a city that has a river running through the middle of it. Heaven is described as a place where there's the tree of life bearing and yielding fruit. And heaven is a place of no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. Again, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament in chapter 11 describes it as a place where the wolf lies down with the lamb, a place of peace, no more suffering, death, or pain, as we read from Revelation 21, verse 4. And these word pictures that the Bible uses, they can only in part describe what the reality will be like. But what I want you to notice is that this future eternity, or the place where God's glory is fully revealed, it is described as a physical reality. Listen again to some of the descriptions given for us. It's a physical place. What is heaven? A new heaven, a new earth, a physical place, a holy city. It's a place. The dwelling place of God. It's a place. The New Jerusalem. The glory of God is visible. It's a place. The city of great beauty. The river of water of life and the tree of life. They are physical pictures of a place. Now, as we look at the world today, we see a problem. Something has gone horribly wrong. And we see it as we look around us. There's hatred, there's war, cruelty, and selfishness. We also see it in ourselves, in our own pursuit of happiness, because we all desire happiness. We fail. We still do those things that we're ashamed of. We have thoughts that disturb us, thoughts that disgust us, how we treat others, our own selfishness and pride. And then added to that, we're prone to physical weakness. We suffer, we have pain, and eventually there's death. There's something wrong with this physical being, with this physical world. There's something wrong with the creation or the natural world, as some people call it. Earthquakes, famines, floods. The physical world here has a problem. The Bible describes it in this way, in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This physical world, our physical bodies, they groan, creation groans. And in that, there's therefore a looking forward. Even the creation, we are told, is looking forward to a time when everything will be made new. The reason why there's something wrong is because we have rebelled against the Creator. The relationship with God has been broken, and because of our wrongdoing, even the creation has been affected. The brightness of God's glory on this earth has been diminished because of rebellion. And yet, we look forward to something greater. We all long for something more. We have a desire for happiness, for justice, for peace, both within ourselves and, we read within the Bible, within creation. And amazingly, God himself has provided it. God has provided not just the solution, as we're going to think about shortly, but God has provided the very thing we're looking for. A place. God has a place where his glory is going to be on full display. God has a place where he will make all things new. God has a place where he will repair and renew the earth. God has a place where he will repair and renew his people. The physical will be raised up new and fresh. Isn't this what people would long for? We long for pain and suffering to be done away with. We long to have our very inner being made clean. And the Bible speaks of this pursuit of happiness being a place that God has prepared. A place that is to come, the new heaven, the new earth. The Bible tells us that what dies is raised up. It's made new. God gives his people a place of unimaginable happiness. It's like this earth, but renewed and perfect. Heaven is a place. God will make everything new. But then secondly, heaven is a person. Heaven is a person. I want to explain this. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, that we read from earlier, it says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." God's dwelling is with man. Father, Son, and Spirit of the new. It is in particular the Son of God. The Son of God who took on human form. Himself by the glories of heaven. He came down to a but lived and then willingly underwent the punishment his creation deserved because of our rebellion. Jesus Christ is the one who took our very sins. He died. He paid the prayer to pay because of fallenness. And this same Jesus Christ is what the renewed life is like. Jesus then rose from the dead. He was made new, a physical, and he ascended to heaven. There will come a day when he will return and when all things will be made new. The new earth. The greatest thing about heaven is that Jesus Christ will be there. And Jesus Christ will be there in all of his glory. His glory will be seen and his people will be before his throne. The Bible stresses this about the place of greatest happiness. It is the very presence of Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why I have serious reservations about those who claim to have been to heaven. Many of those people speak of seeing their family, their friends, their pet dog, perhaps a bright light. But very few, if any, mention the glory of Jesus Christ. And yet Scripture, God's Word, the Bible says that heaven is all about Jesus Christ. He is the focus, and his glory is there. Back to our book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3, the dwelling of God is with man. Because heaven is the place where God's full glory is revealed, we can be sure, and in fact the Bible even says so, that heaven is where we will see the full, radiant, beautiful glory of Jesus Christ, God the Son. In the Old Testament, we read of a man named Job. And Job was a man who suffered deeply. He lost his family in a tragedy. His possessions were stolen. He suffered deep sores on his body. It was so bad that he sat on an ash heap and scraped away at his skin with a piece of broken pottery. But there on the ash heap, Job had this to say. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." This was Job's confidence. Even at his lowest point, he was looking forward to seeing the glory of Jesus Christ, his Savior, the Redeemer. We pursue happiness. We long for joy. And Job says, this is it. The glory, the radiant beauty of the one who paid the price for sin, that I might be with him, that I might see his glory. We will see him face to face. Heaven. Yes, it's a place, a physical place as we think of the new heavens, new earth. But more than that, it's a person. It's seeing Jesus Christ and his glory on full display. Jesus Christ at the center. And for those who are looking forward to heaven, they're looking forward to a person. That's the purpose of heaven. Heaven isn't there primarily for our happiness, for our joy. It's there to display the full radiant glory of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there we will see the only Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Heaven is a place. God will make all things new. Heaven is a person. It's all about Jesus Christ. We will see the glory of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, heaven is permanent. Heaven is permanent. This glorious future is a forever future for all eternity. Going back to the book of Revelation again, chapter 22 and in verse 5, we read these words. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. I want to just for a moment explain what the Bible teaches about eternity. If this new heaven and earth is coming, if this earth will be renewed, then we could rightly ask the question, what has happened to those who, trusting in Jesus Christ, have already died? Are they not in this new heaven and new earth? And if it's something that's coming, then where are they? Well, the Bible tells us that they are with Christ. Jesus said to the criminal on the cross who died beside him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paul writes to a church in a place called Corinth, and he says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those who have died in faith, that is, trusting in Jesus Christ, their bodies rest and decay in the grave, but their soul, that is their very being, it goes to be with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they are in his presence, in a spiritual place. They are in the place where his glory is. But they are also waiting with eager anticipation and expectation for all things to be made new. And this is because our very being, our soul, is eternal. And this is what I mean when I say we all have a sense of eternity. We all have a sense that there is more to come because we all have a soul. And on that day when Jesus Christ returns, on that day when all is made new, when all is raised up new, on that day, those souls that are with Christ are going to be reunited with raised and renewed physical bodies. And we will dwell for all eternity, reigning with Christ Jesus forever and ever in a renewed earth. For all eternity, never ending. This life is short. I'm sure you've probably said about some happy occasion in the past, I wish this would never end. Well, in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, it will never end. It will keep going forever and ever. I have to also say at this point that this is also true for separation from God. The Bible not only speaks of heaven, but it speaks of hell. Everything good is removed, receiving the just punishment for our rebellion. The opposite of dwelling with God and the dwelling of God being with man is having God's face turned away, experiencing God's displeasure, experiencing God's anger at sin for all eternity, forever and ever. And this is why the topic of heaven is so important. Eternity is written on our hearts. People have a longing for something more. People have that pursuit of happiness or for happiness. That knowledge that there is something greater. There is something beyond. It's written on hearts. And so that's why looking at heaven is so vital, because it matters eternally where our heart is. It matters eternally where our trust is. We are those who have a soul, our very inner being, that will last forever. And it matters where that will be. We are told that heaven is permanent. We will be with him forever and ever. There will be no end. Fourthly, as we think of what heaven will be like, heaven is a practice. Heaven is a practice. What I mean by this is heaven is somewhere where we will be active, where we will be involved in action. You might say to me, if heaven goes on forever and ever, will we not get bored? If we're there for all eternity, will we not become so accustomed to it that we would want to change? Well, no. Because heaven is a place where we will be involved in a practice, in doing something, in being active. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. It says, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." Here is an activity that we will be involved in the new heaven and the new earth. We'll be involved in worship. We'll be involved in a work. We'll be involved in relationships, in discovery, in rest. We were made for work, worship, and relationships. And we would be bored without those things. But in heaven, there will be these joyous activities. We will be fulfilled in everything that we do for all eternity. We will be serving Jesus Christ. We will be before him. We will be worshiping in perfection. And we'll be worshiping with those from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, all those whose faith is in Jesus Christ. We will be praising the Lord for all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we will grow in knowledge and understanding of God for all eternity. And we will never run out of things to understand or know about God. We'll be stewards of the new earth, the physical place. We will be looking after it, and it will be easy and a joy to look after. We will discover. Our intellect and curiosity and its affections will be used to their full potential. Our relationships will be deeper and richer. Sometimes people ask, will we know one another in heaven? The answer is yes. And these relationships will be better than what they were here on earth. They will be perfect, closer and deeper than they were here on earth. And this will be for all eternity. It will never end. The new heavens and the new earth, they won't be boring. If these descriptions seem boring, then there's two possibilities. And very likely, I hope it's the first one. And that is, I haven't explained it well. I haven't set before you the joy of heaven as best I could. If these are activities that seem dull to you, and it's my fault, I'm sorry. The other possibility is that perhaps your heart isn't set on these things. Perhaps it's because you're not yet one of Christ's. Perhaps it's because this destination isn't your desire at the moment. Because these are activities that belong to the people of Christ. These are activities that those who love Jesus Christ look forward to. These are activities that bring us true happiness and joy. Heaven is a place where we will be involved in glorious, wonderful activity for all eternity. Can you imagine that? We can just barely. But for all who are in Christ, this is where we are headed, to new heaven, to a new earth, a renewed earth, where we will be with our Savior forever. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a person. Heaven is permanent. Heaven is a practice. And then lastly, heaven gives us perspective. Heaven gives us perspective. This biblical view of heaven, that is the new heavens and the new earth. Here we're thinking of what is to come. I've already said that when we die, for those who are Christ's, we are taken to be with Christ, our soul. Sometimes we talk about that as heaven. The Bible doesn't use the word heaven in that instance. It talks about being with Christ, although we understand what that means, that with Christ in his presence. Here we're thinking even further ahead to when Christ returns, the new heaven and the new earth. And this biblical view of heaven, it helps us in this pursuit of happiness that people are after, because it helps us to keep perspective. It helps us keep perspective, firstly, on our sin. There's a barrier in this pursuit of happiness, in our search for joy, contentment, and peace. And that barrier is our rebellion against God. Our own weaknesses, our wrong desires, our inclination to do the wrong things, our sin. And as much as we like to tell ourselves that many of the things that we do make us happy, we know that they don't really give us the joy that we long for. So knowing that there is such a place that God has prepared for his people, it should give us a perspective that would make us want to turn from this rebellion against God. It should make us realize and acknowledge that living our lives our own way doesn't bring happiness, but rather it's only leading to eternal separation from God. This perspective on heaven, it should make us seek forgiveness from God himself. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the forgiving God who has a place prepared for his people in Jesus Christ. And so this perspective on heaven should make us turn to him, to turn from sin. Heaven and the knowledge of heaven, it should make us run from sin. And this is true for the Christian. When we are doing the things that we know are wrong, when we are desiring to look for happiness in the wrong places, we should remember there is a place that God has for us, a place of true happiness. That's my longing. That's my desire. That's my destination. And it should make us look to live for Christ and find our desires and our happiness only in Jesus Christ, who brings life and forgiveness. Heaven should give us this perspective on sin. Then secondly, heaven gives us a perspective on our suffering. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, we read, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The sufferings of this present time aren't even worth comparing with the greatness, the glory, the happiness, the joy that is to come. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." An understanding of heaven and knowing what heaven will be like, it helps us keep our present sufferings in perspective, because it helps us to put our present sufferings into the scales alongside the eternal joy and glory that we'll experience in heaven. And when these two are compared, we find that this present suffering is only light and momentary. There's no comparison with this glorious weight of happiness and peace and contentment in Jesus Christ, with seeing the glory of Jesus Christ. And so looking forward to that, it gives us a perspective on suffering. C.S. Lewis, I should have had that verse up for you. "This light and momentary affliction, it's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." C.S. Lewis has written in his book, The Problem of Pain, a book on suffering which says nothing of heaven, is leaving out almost the whole of one side of the account. Scripture puts the joys of heaven into the scale against the sufferings of earth, and no solution of the problem of pain which does not do so can be called a Christian one. To understand our sufferings, to have a right perspective on our sufferings, the Bible points us to what is to come, to the new heaven, the new earth, the glory to come, seeing Jesus Christ and being with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Heaven gives us a perspective on our sin, on our suffering, and then lastly, on our society. Heaven is good news. The new heaven and the new earth is good news. What is to come is good news. And friends, this is news that has to be shared. We're to tell people of the happiness that they are looking for, and that it's only found in Jesus Christ. A greater understanding of heaven, it should give us a burden to make known to men, women, and children what it means to be made right with God, and to point them to the great heaven, the great eternity that's to be gained in Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why we're having these two meetings in heaven. It's so that we can tell people who are pursuing happiness that it's not found in the things of this world, because this world is groaning. It's not found in pursuing our own desires, because they're twisted, and at the end of the day, we are weak and feeble, and we too are prone to what is wrong. We're inclined to sin, and we become weak. We eventually die. We point people to the true happiness that is found in the place that God has prepared. New heaven and a new earth, where all is made new, where there is peace, justice, and righteousness, where there is life. We point them to Jesus Christ, the one that we look forward to in heaven, the one whose glory will be made clear, and the one who has opened up the way to heaven, because he himself has taken the punishment that we deserve. We point them to the place that is permanent, the place where we will be before our Savior, worshiping and rejoicing. We point them to the place where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, to the place where death will be no more, where there will be no mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, the place where former things have passed away. This is what heaven will be like. Amen.